Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Oh, yes. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for December 12th, 2012. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Well, you are here on a really special, special day. And how could it not be special? It is 12-12-12, right? And December 12th just happens to be my father's birthday. So happy birthday, Dad. But today's program is going to focus on the power and the strength of the human individual to bring themselves to health. And it's something that you can do as well. Joining me today is an individual who has really struggled with quite a bit of physical pain in his life. And as we have talked here on The Healthy Mind, one of my areas of interest is chronic pain and mood, how our emotions can create physical symptoms. And I've mentioned multiple times here on the show how much of an influence Dr. John Sarno and his work in TMS, or tension myositis syndrome, has been in my career and in my life. Well, today, this individual, his name is Edward Sedell, and he goes by Ted. And I'd come to know Ted after reading one of his articles in Forbes. You see, he's a writer for Forbes, in addition to his main career path within finance. But his article was on Dr. John Sarno, his pioneering work, and how Ted used Dr. Sarno's work to cure his physical pain. Not just once, but multiple times in his life. Back pain, shoulder pain, and gastrointestinal pain. An incredible story. Ted's going to share with us his journey and struggle with chronic pain, but it's a very hopeful story and really taps into everything that I'm trying to accomplish here on The Healthy Mind. The strength and perseverance of the human being, their persistence and belief in their ability to transcend their illness and lift themselves to health. Well, this is personified in the story of Ted Sedell. He's going to tell us about how he struggled with pain and how, through the work of Dr. John Sarno, he was able to become pain-free. So Ted will be joining us for a special, special interview today on The Healthy Mind. He'll be joining us in just a minute. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Thank you so much for stopping by there. Don't forget, you can sign up for my free monthly newsletter right there on the homepage. And to the subscribers, be looking out for the December newsletter. It'll be out here in just a few days. If you have any questions, comments, anything, please don't hesitate to email me. The email address, peter@thehealthymind.com. And I really do appreciate those emails. I read every one and I try to get back to you. Please bear with me as quickly as I possibly can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I had said at the top of the broadcast, I have a very special guest on The Healthy Mind this week, Ted Sedell. And you may be saying, well, all right, who's Ted Sedell? And if you've read Forbes, you know who this individual is. Ted is he's a fascinating individual. He is the founder and CEO of Benchmark Financial Services, and he does a lot of work in the pension arena, making sure that those that are stewards over our pensions and 401ks are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And he's had a fascinating career, from working for the SEC to his own firms that he has formed. He has testified in front of the Senate Banking Committee and the Louisiana State Legislature on these issues of financial regulation and fighting for justice within the financial instruments. But what I came across with regards to Ted, as I said, he's a writer for Forbes. He has a wonderful blog, and I really encourage you to take a look at all that he is writing, and we'll leave all of the links, particularly to the two stories that really caught my eye with Ted. But he had written an article in September about really one of the greatest influences in my life, an individual by the name of Dr. John Sarno. And to those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast, you all know that my area of interest within psychiatry is in the overlap of emotions and physical symptoms. How are emotions manifest as physical symptoms? And one of the most important individuals in my life, both personally and professionally, has been Dr. John Sarno. And all of you who have been listening know how much I really care for Dr. Sarno and all that he has done. He truly is a pioneer in Western medicine, single-handedly reaching literally millions of people and positively influencing their lives and helping them live lives free of pain simply by showing how our emotions can create physical pain and other discomfort. During the course of his career, Dr. Sarno has been a steadfast champion of really getting the word out about how our emotions will create physical symptoms. And really, what has happened in medicine today, where we don't even consider the psychological aspects until the very end. But Ted Sedell's article, which appeared in Forbes, was entitled America's Best Doctor and His Miracle Cures, Dr. John E. Sarno. I came across the link to his article at a forum that I frequent rather regularly online that has to do with psychophysiologic disorders. And I read it and I was fascinated. It was so validating to hear someone of Ted's prominence put this out in Forbes, of all places. And I reached out to him at first via email, and he was kind enough. I think he got back to me right away and was also kind enough a few weeks back to spend over an hour, I think it was about 90 minutes with me on the phone. And I really just, it was so wonderful to speak to him, and it was his hope to write more about his experience with Dr. Sarno, his own personal story of chronic pain and how he got through it through the work of Dr. Sarno, like many of us have. And he's followed that up with another article in Forbes, How America's Best Pain Doctor Took on the Medical Establishment and Won. So he's been gracious enough to join us today on the Healthy Mind podcast. Ted, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
I just really, the articles, and especially with your reach, they've just been so wonderful to see it touch so many people and get the word out. What I wanted to do to start out with was maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and then maybe how you came to coming across Dr. Sarno with what you were struggling with.
Well, as I wrote about in my first article about Dr. Sarno, I was living in New York in the 1990s, and I owned my own trading firm on Wall Street. I had been fortunate enough to raise money to start my own firm and was sort of living the dream of being my own boss in an exciting industry at an exciting time. But I found myself having severe lower back pain. And as you can imagine, many Wall Street people suffer from migraines, lower back pain, all kinds of stress-related issues. And everybody had their favorite cure. Go see this chiropractor or this physical therapist or this doctor. And so I had made the rounds and seen a number of them and was getting daily chiropractic, I guess, what's that called, Peter?
The adjustments or the manipulations?
Yes. And the more treatments I got, the worse I felt. And I was hearing that my problems were related to one of my legs being longer than the other, my spine not being perfectly aligned, the way I held the cradled the telephone in my neck, the rolling executive chair I had. All of this made no sense to me, but the pain got worse and worse. I think the worst night was New Year's Eve, probably 1993, where I was in bed and couldn't go out because my back was hurting so much.
Wow.
A friend suggested I read Dr. Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain.
Had you even heard of Dr. Sarno at this point?
No. The title of the book sounded off-putting. It sounded so simplistic. And it was sort of like, how to change the oil of your car. It wasn't very intriguing at all. But I thought, what the heck, I'll read it. And I read it slowly. It was a simple read, but I read it maybe a chapter a night and was intrigued. And living in Manhattan, Dr. Sarno's office was in Midtown, as I recall, at NYU. So I called him thinking that I would like to talk to him. And to my surprise, got right through to him. It was very easy to get through. And I scheduled an appointment to meet with him. And I went and met with him very soon thereafter. And Dr. Sarno is a small man. I think he's about 5 foot tall. probably 5'3". He wore big glasses, sort of like Buddy Holly.
Yes.
And very intense mind, and a real keen focus. When you go in to meet with him, he insists on spending an hour with you, learning about your personal history and your symptoms, and really sort of trying to, I think, figure you out. And he also, of course, did some physical tests to establish that
yes,
what was causing my pain was not structural or physical. And that's what he concluded, that the pain that I was having was because of emotional stress in my life. And there was nothing structurally wrong with me, and that I should resume my normal physical activity.
What was your reaction to that? I know you had read the book prior or part of it before you sought him out, but do you remember what you felt the first time he said that to you, or what that felt like to you?
Well, it intuitively made a lot of sense to me. I mean, the idea that the way I held the telephone would suddenly, after 30-something years, cause me back pain just didn't make any sense to me.
Yes.
And the idea that there are human beings whose legs are exactly the same length didn't make any sense to me either, because, you know, we're all slightly off perfect alignment. So his ideas made sense to me. And, of course, it's a tremendous relief if you're a physically active person like I am. I've run 30 miles a week for 30 years. And the idea that I would have to give up running, which some of the doctors were saying, was terrifying. Not being able to exercise, essentially accepting a life of debilitation, was pretty terrifying. So that was great news to hear. What was really intriguing about Dr. Sarno is that he knew enough to not try to guess what the emotional forces were operating within me that were causing the pain. And I thought that was very intriguing. He knew enough as a medical doctor to know that there was significant emotional pain resulting in very real physical pain, but he wasn't going to try to guess what caused the pain or try to intrude into a person's psyche based upon an hour interview.
I think that's...
It was very interesting the way he insightfully got to the core of the problem, yet backed away from trying to say too much.
And I think that's so important. He has talked about that in his books and where others have followed, you know, in his footsteps, the idea that these emotions, these underlying emotions of rage or anger, or in the way that I've tried to understand it, more of the existential anxiety, whatever it may be, is that they're protective in the way that they work in the physical symptoms. There is a threatening emotion that may be very uncomfortable, or we just don't know what will happen. There's so much uncertainty. And that the body will create, as a protective stance or a refuge, the physical pain.
Well, that's what's so such a blessing, is if your body is telling you something's important, pay attention, is that a sickness or is that a health? That's a tremendous clue.
Yes.
And that you should be thankful for, even though you're not thankful for the pain.
Exactly. And I think that's the important part here as we continue forward with his work and others who have done this work in different ways, is that we have to move away from the idea that the physical pain in some way is a symptom of weakness, character flaw, neuroses, some hiccup that is a flaw. It is important, and it is purposeful, as we understand it, in telling us, wait, I need to step back for a moment. My body is telling me something. And to not just automatically go towards a medical or anatomical, physical reason as to why it is occurring. Because if we really look at it in detail, and I've tried to illustrate that on previous podcasts, that if we look at some of the data, it's mixed at best in terms of those exact physical findings on an MRI or on an X-ray as being the cause for the pain.
Well, I think that the pain is, oddly enough, a healthy sign.
Yes.
That emotion is being expressed, or feelings are being expressed. And the worst thing would be if you had no pain at all and you suddenly went out and started killing people because of this pent-up rage. The pain offers you a rare insight into the fact that something's going on. You don't know what, but there's something here that needs paying attention to. I think that's tremendously important. And one of the things I think, again, I know nothing about your field, but I think that one of the reasons Dr. Sarno has been effective is that the unconscious mind, which he says is causing this, I think hates nothing more than to be told by the conscious mind what it's thinking or feeling. So there's something very soothing, I think, to the unconscious mind when the conscious mind says, something is bothering me, but I'm not going to try to put a label on it, at least not immediately.
Yes. And, you know, people sometimes have a little bit of a problem in getting their minds around this particular understanding of this, whether it's TMS or psychophysiologic disorders. Why would it do this, or how is this really real? Yet the one thing that I kind of more practically describe is all you have to look is go over to Madison Avenue and take a look at the amount of behavioral research that is done on human beings to understand how to motivate people to have an emotion without them realizing that they're actually being manipulated or being steered in that direction. So that is something that is being studied. We know that human beings can pick up on cues even though consciousness isn't there. And in that same way, you don't know what those particular cues are that may run through the filter of your life's experience that brings up these emotions. All of a sudden, a spark of anger or rage or anxiety comes on, and what does the body do? Remember, as I've talked before here on The Healthy Mind, we have only recently in geological times evolved to the point of the stressors of modern society, okay? Several million years ago, we were just worried about making sure that we made it through the savanna alive. And those decisions on uncertainty or worry were life or death. Now, we've advanced quite a bit, but our nervous system hasn't been able to evolve quite as quickly. And in that, a threat that we see that might be of modern society, whatever it may be, a missed deadline, stressors of finance, relationship, what have you, will trigger the nervous system. And we see that in panic attacks. We see that in depression and the like. And this is what I believe is happening, is that the threat of that is as real as if it is life or death. And the body will do what it needs to move away from that coming to the surface. And that's how I've come to understand why some of these symptoms will occur from a physical perspective. So, and again, it's not just my opinion. We have to look, I don't just say this because there's one person, Dr. Sarno, who has come up with this, or others who have done this as well. He's not certainly the only one. But that the data that we have in Western medicine is not consistent, that a particular finding on an MRI or a CAT scan or any kind of imaging test is the singular reason for why people have pain. And it is so important to consider these psychological factors, because for some people, like yourself, Ted, this was what was going on. Can you tell us, with regards to seeing him, Dr. Sarno, you saw him, you walked away from, you know, from that appointment feeling kind of energized and relieved that this was TMS. What happened next for you?
Well, the next thing was that I went, Dr. Sarno's treatment at that point consisted of, you would pay him a flat fee, which I believe is $300, and that would get you paid for 1 hour with him, and then you would be allowed to attend medical seminars that he would hold for patients. I believe he held them every week or so.
It was every week in New York, yeah.
Yeah. And unlimited. If you needed to come back 100 times or one time, you could come back as many times as you wanted to. So I went and saw him for the hour, and then went to one or two of the group lectures. It's a group lecture. It's not group therapy. And he lectures, and, you know, people will raise their hand and interrupt. But he basically starts out by telling the audience, which is maybe 20 or 30 people, that they are all here after he has examined them and determined that they do not have anything physically or structurally wrong with them that is causing their pain. They may or may not have some structural abnormality, but he had determined that was not what was causing their pain. I was fortunate in the sense that I didn't have any herniated disc or anything show up. I don't even know if I ever had an MRI done. So I didn't have any clear abnormality that someone could point to and say that structural issue was causing my problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that had not been ingrained in my head. But there were people in the audience who would say, but wait, Dr. Sarno, I have a herniated disc from a car accident. And I remember he would say, yes, I know, and I've examined you, and that's not what's causing the pain. And so that was what happened for me. I went one or two times and then walked away cured. I mean, and then I resumed physical activity, went back to my running and everything, and was 100% cured. Now, about 2 years later, I suddenly developed shoulder pain, and I went to see a medical doctor who told me I needed immediate rotator cuff surgery. He said that it was serious. If I didn't have it immediately, I would lose use of my arm forever.
Was it an injury of some type, or did that just come out of the blue?
It would just came out of the blue. I woke up one morning and couldn't move my arm. But I remember very clearly there was no injury. It was just one morning I woke up and couldn't move my arm, and it didn't resolve itself. And saw a doctor or two, a chiropractor or two, and then finally was given this diagnosis. But I thought at the time that this was something that I needed to see Dr. Sarno about. So I went and saw him again, and he said that this is exactly what he had been focused on recently, what he called the ping pong effect.
Yes.
Which is that the pain moves from one part of the body to another, or the symptom imperative, I believe he called it, and that this torn rotator cuff surgery was being recommended, prescribed across the nation as a result of increased use of MRIs detecting rotator cuff tears. he painstakingly, I remember this time being examined, because there was a test he did that they did there, which at NYU, which involved, I think, sticking me with little pins or something. I remember being stuck a lot with little pins or something, nerves or something, I don't know.
Yeah, they were doing a nerve conduction test.
And the conclusion was that there was, he said, there's nothing wrong with your shoulder. You don't need rotator cuff surgery. Resume physical activity. And which I did, and now I can swim 1-3 miles very easily, actually. And the diagnosis that I would lose use of my arm if I didn't have the surgery immediately just was dead wrong.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you think about how common that presentation may be to a doctor's office. I'm sure people listening have been through something like that, if it's not a shoulder pain, maybe a back pain, a neck pain. And how many times have people perhaps gotten unnecessary surgeries? I know we talked about it here on the Healthy Mind, a study as recently as about a year ago, where the most common sign on MRI that is used to decide whether or not a person should have a hip surgery, it was a sign that was found in 75% of people who were complaining of no pain. So what exactly is going on here? And let alone where you're going in with pain, and you could have gone to a different doctor and they would have said, in fact, you did, said you had to go get rotator cuff surgery. And another doctor, and Dr. Sarno, tells you, no, you don't, and you're pain-free. I mean, that had to have been...
Well, I had an employee working in my office. My head trader at that time had the exact same pain at the exact same time as me. And he went ahead and had the surgery, and I did not. And there was... He gained no advantage by having the surgery over my not having the surgery.
So. Amazing. In terms of having gone through this and really coming to be free of pain, and obviously since that time the years progressed, how did that get to where you're at now and the decision to write about him and to move forward with that? Can you tell us a little bit about that part of your journey?
Well, I tell you what prompted me to write about him. I'm much older now than I was then. I'm 20-something years older than when I first met Dr. Sarno. And now, as I've gotten older, new symptoms have arrived in my 50s now.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I've had no back pain for the last 20-something years, no shoulder pain for the last 20 years or so, and extremely active. I mean, running, swimming, and lifting weights. So recently, in the last few years, and now that I'm in my 50s, I developed intestinal problems. I went to the emergency room, had an MRI or whatever it's called.
CAT scan,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they said I had diverticulitis or lotus.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Diverticulitis.
And they said this means you have these little pockets in your stomach that everybody over a certain age have.
That's right.
That is always a dead giveaway to me. You have a condition that other people who have no pain have, but the doctor is saying it's causing your pain. I don't buy that. So that immediately perked my ears up. And I said, well, if everybody, or almost everybody above a certain age, have these little pockets in their stomach, how do you know that's what's causing my pain? And so, again, what I found was it went away. And it went away without having to take any medication. But the interesting thing was, it was at a time when the other dads that I was being social with were having a similar problem. I sort of sympathetically developed it.
Almost kind of like you're a head trader when you both had the same type of shoulder pain.
I think my head trader and I had, he and I were extremely close. He's a deeply spiritual guy, and we were very good friends. I think that was sympathetic pain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall who got it first, but this was most recently was the stomach problem. Was a close friend, another father who has very bad TMS. I mean, he should spend a lot of time with you, Peter. But so my point is that recently I've picked up Dr. Sarno's book again in earnest for the first time in 20-something years to understand the different types of TMS manifestations that are showing up now 20 years later, and to not be alarmed by them, and to, as I did 20-something years ago, find my path or way through it. And that is something I'm doing now, and it's something that I have done twice before successfully, but the symptoms do change over time. If you are prone to express your emotions or to have psychosomatic symptoms.
And I agree, and I think, at least in my experience in treating individuals like this, one of the most validating parts, at least the impact there, that of the most powerful ones, is this inconsistency with anatomy. There's no reason how it could bounce from side to side and still be a one consistent process. And I think that particular fact, more than anything, is something where people can really hold on to. And even though they can, but with other things, understanding a little bit about the nervous system and how it just isn't possible for things to jump in the way that they do if we're thinking it's the same thing, really tends to be something that is very validating for people, and I think more so than anything else can really, really help a person begin to understand it in terms of TMS or the psychophysiologic phenomenon.
Well, I think the younger you are when you are exposed to the TMS theory, the better off you are, because as you get older, as you live, you're going to develop new symptoms. And I found in my life, if something new comes up, fortunately for me, it's always been something TMS related as opposed to a serious structural issue.
Right. And of course, there are serious physical conditions. What we're not trying to say here is that every type of pain is TMS, but where at least traditional Western med has gone is that the psychological is not really considered until the very end, almost at the point where doctors have said, well, we have no idea what it is, so it must be psychological. I think all that we're trying to do, both in terms of treating patients and advocacy, is to say, wait a minute, think about the psychological a little bit earlier. Just like you had just said, the sooner that you can begin to understand that the mind is capable of this, it's kind of like you can't unthink of a pink elephant when someone tells you don't think of a pink elephant. If you start to understand the way that the mind and the body works in TMS, it's kind of hard not to at least go through that lens, at least when you consider pains as it goes into the future, pretty much like your experience was. You never said, this one must be structural. You always had considered the possibility that any one of these pains, whether it was the shoulder pain or the gastrointestinal, could have possibly been TMS. And fortunately for you, that's what it was.
Yeah, and I think if you have gone through life with unnecessary surgeries every 10 years, which is not at all unlikely, that it would be much harder to accept the TMS thesis.
Exactly.
But I was fortunate. I've never had surgery at all in my life, and I got this TMS intervention at a time when I probably most certainly would have the rotator cuff surgery. No one was ever suggesting surgery for my back. So if you can learn early in life that your mind does have a powerful impact on your body, then you're well equipped for what life will deal you, especially as you get older.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I think it's only natural for humans psychologically that when we are stressed, anxious, or when we feel vulnerable, particularly with physical pain, no matter what the stressor is, and we've talked about this before on the healthy mind, the psychological principle of system justification. When you're stressed, you are going to defer to authority. And sometimes it doesn't even matter. I mean, these studies have been done. It doesn't even matter if the systems are right or wrong. People will hold on to them when they are stressed. And I think that that does happen. And that's where I think this movement has to keep moving forward, because we're not trying to just be radicals and question everything in Western medicine, but to at least introduce the possibility that psychological factors are very critical here, so that the automatic default when one isn't feeling well is to go to a doctor, and then you listen to that without question to say, wait a minute, there may be something else here that can give you relief and can spare you perhaps more heartache. So I think that it's really important when someone like yourself, Ted, is talking about this, whether it's on a podcast of this form or in the prolific writing that you do of the two articles that you've done thus far in Forbes regarding Dr. Sarno's work and your experience through that process.
Well, the last article I wrote about Dr. Sarno, I just wanted to emphasize that Dr. Sarno was a true pioneer who had brilliant ideas, and to point out that there are certain common paths that pioneers often take and with common obstacles. And Dr. Sarno's story is a story of how he overcame those obstacles and maintained his credibility and integrity and, you know, persisted against the medical establishment and got his word out through his books and was able to be successful. What I would especially like to see happen is in those rare situations where doctors frankly acknowledge they don't know what's causing the patient's pain, that they, instead of stopping there, they say, so why don't you read this book or listen to this podcast? What I think happens is if you're fortunate to have a doctor who doesn't try to recklessly prescribe a radical procedure and a doctor who says, I don't know what's causing the pain, it would be nice if in those situations doctors would take the further step and clue the patient in that there may be some alternative theory that they should investigate.
Yeah, I think that's...
I don't think they do that today.
No, they don't do it, and they don't do it enough if they are doing it. The title of the article in Forbes is How America's Best Pain Doctor Took On the Medical Establishment and Won. And I know in your research, Ted, you were fortunate enough to speak to Dr. Sarno a few times before writing the article. What was your sense in terms of, as he looks back now, he retired recently, how does he see what he's done and his journey, his mark in all that he's accomplished in medicine?
Well, I actually spent quite a bit of time with his wife, Martha Sarno, over the phone, who is also a doctor, who was also at NYU.
Uh-huh.
And she really spoke for him a lot, and because he was sort of modest. But I spent several hours, I think, with her on the phone. And it was interesting to me in that one of the questions I had was Dr. Sarno regularly threatened, like by lawsuits or in other ways, for his radical theory, which was that most doctors, he calls it malpractice generally practice. Most doctors' response to pain in their patients is malpractice generally practice.
That is beautiful.
And I thought, my God, there must be doctors all over the country threatening this thing to sue him for telling their patients they don't need these treatments. And surprisingly, the answer to that was no, that did not happen. He was, throughout his career, I would say ridiculed. I even found when I was being tested by other doctors at NYU, who I'd been referred to by Dr. Sarno for tests, that those doctors would roll their eyes when they heard I was Dr. Sarno's patient.
Yes.
So he was ridiculed throughout his career, and he had the great fortune of being a tenured professor at NYU, which meant they really couldn't get rid of him.
Yes.
So I think he has felt a bit disappointed that he couldn't have had more of a profound effect, but I think that he, on the other hand, feels that he's gotten, you know, tremendous recognition from his former patients and through his writings, and that was the best that a pioneer in his field could really have possibly done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think one of the most amazing pieces of video that I've seen, and I've encouraged people to take a look at it, is Dr. Sarno's testimony in front of Senator Tom Harkin, who had a similar experience 2 years where he had read the book, and there was another physician there, seemed like a very establishment physician, who was talking about guidelines for pain. And Senator Harkin and Dr. Sarno was there, very, very modest in the way that he answered Senator Harkin's questions, as typical for Dr. Sarno. But Senator Harkin is waving his book, The Divided Mind, Dr. Sarno's book, The Divided Mind, and he's saying, why aren't we looking at this? This got rid of my pain. Why aren't people reading, medical students, residents, why aren't they reading this? And it was just quite an ironic and an incredible contrast between the other physician, who is kind of the embodiment of the traditional Western medical establishment, and Dr. Sarno, very relaxed, unassuming, was not trying to, you know, force his way into the conversation or prove that he's right. And it was as if Senator Harkin was not there, or that experience was not real for him. But he's also free of pain for, and has been for decades. It was just an amazing piece there on C-SPAN in watching that. I think that was a few months back.
It is remarkable that the medical establishment's dismal track record in treating pain somehow is viewed as more credible than Dr. Sarno's revolutionary approach. On the other hand, even Dr. Sarno will tell you that, 90% of patients are unwilling to accept his thesis. And if you're not willing to believe that your emotions are playing a significant or determinant role, then you're not going to get better. And so the irony of it is that in our society as it exists today, widespread acceptance or universal acceptance of these theories would be problematic regardless of the economics. However, on the other hand, universal acceptance of malpractice generally practiced is prevalent.
Yes, it's the order of the day. And I think that, you know,
driven to a large degree by economics.
Yes, yes, indeed. And that's, my goodness, that's a whole other podcast. And I think being a psychiatrist myself, one of the biggest barriers to people coming in and getting treatment for depression and anxiety is stigma, and the fact that one finds it very, very hard to accept that emotions could possibly have a biological root, a psychological root, and that it's okay or normal to talk about it. How many people continue to suffer with what may even be more mainstream, depression and anxiety. This is an altogether different level or leap that one would have to make, I would think, intellectually and emotionally, to say, wow, my physical pain is also caused. But all we can do is plow forward. That's why I really wanted to have you on, because it's little brush fires like this everywhere that we set to help change the meme, the idea, stall that automatic deference to a physical or a physiologic reason for pain is so wonderful, and why there's so much power to both of the articles that you have written, and hope that you will continue to write along this line. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you wrote both of these things, say nothing about coming on the podcast, but the fact that someone of your prominence and stature as a writer is devoting at least two of your columns, you know, to Dr. Sarno. It's from all of us, we can't thank you enough for that.
Well, let me just conclude by saying that, you know, Forbes is a business publication, and my final thought on this subject from a business perspective was, think of how remarkable it would be if employers or companies or government entities that self-insure their medical claims made Dr. Sarno's books available to their employees, I mean, by the thousands. That, to me, would have a profound effect. And economically, it would result in billions in savings. But it almost takes something like that, a significant development like that, to change the status quo.
Yes, And I think that time will really happen in our small way with what we're trying to do in the Psychophysiologic Disorders Association, the nonprofit that we have formed, many of us who have had the influence of Dr. Sarno in our personal and professional careers. All of us working together, I think we can start pushing this more towards the mainstream. If we can make a change like that, fantastic, but on a more practical and personal level, one person needs to hear something like you did about reading a book or hearing about Dr. Sarno, and it changed your life forever for the positive. And that is something we can definitely continue to do. Ted, if people want to learn more about you or read more about the Dr. Sarno articles, and we'll have those as links on the description for the podcast, how can they get in touch with you? Where's the best place for our listeners to be directed towards to read some of your incredible pieces on the economy and finances?
Well, our company website is benchmarkalert.com, and that's all one word, benchmarkalert.com, which really is about the pioneering work I do in investigating pension and money management abuses. And it's from that perspective that I have, you know, viewed Dr. Sarno's life's work. So I welcome you to contact me about it. I am interested in lending whatever voice or credibility I have to the work that Dr. Sarno has done. But clearly I am not a healthcare professional.
Right.
And I am approaching it from a personal and sort of philosophical perspective as well, being a pioneer in my own field, if you will.
Yes, indeed. And I think that the power that that has is for others who may be new to this journey, struggling with their own physical issues, it puts a human face on it. And here's a person who has gotten through it to the other end. And that is, in my opinion, more powerful than anything I could ever hope to do during my sessions and my discussions or podcasts. So I can't thank you enough for joining us, Edward Ted Sedell. And you can read more about it. The two articles that I would recommend on Forbes, How America's Best Pain Doctor Took on the Medical Establishment and Won, and also his first one in late September, America's Best Doctor and His Miracle Cures, Dr. John E. Sarno. Ted, thank you so much for joining us here on The Healthy Mind. I can't thank you enough for it.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thank you again. And there he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Sedell. Wow, what an amazing story. It's really, it's a story of triumph. It's a story of strength and how when someone decides that they are going to get better, they really can do it. You really can do it. And Ted, blessed with the talents that he has been able to tell the world about it and the world about Dr. John Sarno. I really do hope that you take the time to read some of Ted's articles, especially in the world of finance. Wow, he is an amazing author. Well, that's going to do it for this week on The Healthy Mind. Thank you again to Ted, and thank you all so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Any questions or comments, don't hesitate to email me, peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on The Healthy Mind.